Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. First of all, for the privilege of being in the body of Christ. Father, we thank you so much for our redemptive rights and all that you've done for us. Father, I'm just overwhelmed at your goodness. The closer I walk with you, the more your goodness is etched into my heart and my spirit. Father, I pray that everything that I say and share with your people today becomes a revelation to them so they can enjoy your goodness. They can enjoy the fruits of their rights so that they can understand where they belong in the body of Christ and that they can face a world that is full of chaos and disorder and death. Show them how you came to give life and to give it abundantly through what I have to say today. Show them why you said peace on earth and goodwill towards men. It just seemed like that was words that had not been accomplished, but they have been. So, Father, help me give the wording today that will give honor and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. You just have to bear with me a little bit. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the book of Hebrews. We've been learning a lot of good things, new things. If you haven't been on Wednesday nights, you need to get the CDs. But I want us to go to some verses that are very important. Let's go to verse 5 of Hebrews 1. When we were talking about Hebrews, we brought out that chapter 1 and chapter 2 really gives us some insight as to the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth as a man. The purpose of that. It's sad that the Holy Spirit doesn't have more control on our teachers in meditating the Word of God. Because a lot of my commentaries and stuff I've been looking at, they kind of confirmed to me, you need the Holy Spirit to give you the understanding of the Bible, no matter how much your intellect wants to kick in. But actually, the entire book of Hebrews teaches a Hebrew how not to be a Hebrew any longer. And so the first chapter, he covers the fact of where Jesus came. And to a converted Jew, that's pretty enlightening. He was a son eternity past. Then he became a man. And then again became a son in the third heaven. And you know how the Jews attacked Jesus by saying, well, if you're not of this world, then... what you ought to do then, if you're not of this world, and your world is not of this world, then you ought to pay your taxes. Because when you were born into Hebrew heritage, you were exempt from taxes. Wouldn't that be nice if we could prove that we're American citizens and got away from having to pay taxes? And Jesus didn't argue with that because there was an element of truth in it. And he said, okay, Peter, go down and get me a fish and we'll pay our taxes. So Peter went down and paid the taxes, simply predicated off the fact that he kept pushing this down their understanding that I'm not of this world. Hebrews chapter 1 really clarifies the fact that he came from heaven. He was a son in eternity past. Verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Of course, this was literally fulfilled in Luke chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, where the shepherds were on the field, and one angel appeared, and told them about a Savior being born in the city of Bethlehem. And then it said myriads of angels appeared and they all began to worship him. I thought it was real interesting. One commentary said that this was referring to the second advent. But it is not. Because this book was written to a converted Jew, not to go back into Judaism. And one thing he wanted to establish very clearly, that the hour of their visitation they missed. The second advent is well documented in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, the Jew was looking forward to his return. So what he was referring to here was the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, who came from heaven. Who came from heaven. And he said here in the verses that we read, he said, you are a son eternity past. But again, Palin means we're doing it again. And he said he released him in the earth in Bethlehem. He conceived in the womb of Mary and brought forth that little one. And the angel of God couldn't hardly wait for that day to arrive. Because an outlaw by the name of Satan destroyed one world and almost did the second world the same way. And that outlaw, whom the Lord had blessed abundantly for the purpose of serving man. This planet, this earth, this ground was created for the atmosphere that God intended for man to live in, not angels. And so when Satan could not get the same glory and honor that mankind got, he took the first world illegally. And in that, it cost God a tremendous loss of lives. So salvation was planned. And in the plan of salvation, God had it in mind to let man become a part of the judgment of that outlaw and incarcerate him eternally as well. And he'd hoped that that would be accomplished through the first Adam. You know, one thing about the love of God, when the psalmist, Psalms 8, said, what is man that thou art mindful? Boy, what a statement. You can't put it into words how much God loves mankind. I don't know what he's got for us. I can't even conceive why he would even have me in the plan. Can you? Now, I know if you got a lot of pride, you probably would think so, but evidently, Satan couldn't have that place that man had. So he almost succeeded in the second one. He got down to one person. And God honored his household as well. Thank God for the Father. Amen. And his love. But he said, I have begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and again he will be to me a son. And again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Notice this, first begotten. What does he mean by first begotten? Well, what he's talking about is that when Adam fell, the Bible's very clear that in his fall he was not deceived. Matter of fact, the word deceived there means, in that text, one who was not seduced into error. Now, don't ask me how he could conceivably do that. But mankind suffered from the first man, Adam, that took that fall. How many are following me so far? And so he committed high treason by giving the system of this world over to Satan. God is the creator of this earth, this planet. And so he has a part in the real estate. Are you following what I'm saying? God owns this planet Earth. But what he did is he turned the dominion over of this planet to a man called Adam. And he wanted to help mate with him and brought in Eve. And then he probably educated him totally as to even that outlaw. Because he says that Adam was not seduced into error. Matter of fact, when you get over into Romans chapter 5 and start reading the verses, it said that Adam was in disobedience. Well, he had to have the understanding of what it meant to be obedient in order to be disobedient. And so we see that this outlaw had done the same thing that he did to a third of the angels, and that was convince Adam he would be as a god. And of course, Adam didn't have a history of sin, but Adam had a history of God in his heart and life. And so that's the MO of Satan. He always will challenge you to your rights by accusing your brethren. And if he can't accuse your brethren before you, he will accuse your God. Hath God really said? Satan hates believers. He hates mankind because we were created in the image of God. Now, I want to really try to get across to you as clear as I can, as quick as I can, of what really took place on the cross. You know, a lot of us, Easter after Easter, we see these programs, and a lot of it, you know, even Christmas time, a lot of it centers around the physical part of Jesus. We always see the Savior on the cross dying. Matter of fact, today I think I'm going to take time to look at the movie, The Passion. I want to see it again. I hadn't seen it in a long time. First time I saw that movie, somebody told me, well, it wasn't accurate. You know, I hate that. I'll tell you, that movie glorified my Savior. I'll tell you, the Ten Commandments glorified my Father. I don't care how accurate everything has to be. I mean, Hollywood is Hollywood. But you know, God is God, and Jesus is Jesus. Boyd got the point across why he died for us. I mean, when I'm sitting in the theater and I see this woman preaching to this guy she brought, and he was dressed up like a gang member and got out in the hallway and she led him to the Lord right there. I mean, the movie's good enough for me. He couldn't sit there and figure out why would he told that lady, says that brought him, she said, why would he do that for me? And she said, because he loves you so much. Why does he love me like that? The world doesn't know what love is until they see something like that. I'll tell you, my Jesus loves us. I'll tell you, when you don't even function right, Jesus loves you. You know, I can remember when I was a little kid, I had this toy. And I loved this toy. It didn't last very long because they used to make them out of metal, stamped metal. They'd stamp it. And mine had a little wind up on the side, and I'd put it in my bathtub, and it would be like a little submarine. It would never submerge till finally it did submerge. It got full of water and rusted and sunk. So it was out of commission. But I'd wind that little submarine up, and I'd wind it up tight, and I'd let it go in that bathtub, and that little submarine take a nosedive, and I'd pick it out, and I'd say, well, I won't wind it this tight. Maybe it'll last a little longer on the surface of the water, you know. And then, so I'd crank it, and finally I'd get it to where it just putter right along the top of the water. But what happens the first time that thing sunk? I didn't take it out and bend it and throw it against the wall and say, well, it doesn't work right. No, you have to learn how to work with some things, you know. And we don't always function right like we're supposed to. But it doesn't mean we have to abandon the project just because it isn't working right, you know. And that's the way God is with mankind. He loves man so much that he never intended for an angel to ever inherit anything that was created for mankind. And so this outlaw wanted into the universe and wanted the same worship that God was getting from man that he created, and could never touch the honor and glory that man had. What is man that thou art mindful of him? When you created everything, why did you create everything? For the work of his hands? Well, where does angels come in? Well, whatever lofty place Satan had in the kingdom of the third heaven, he never had a place that belonged in earth where man was created to be. He never had that right. But he wanted that same place of glory and honor that he could never have from the Father. And that was his love for mankind. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Why did he come into the world and die? Well, first of all, it said that it is fitting. In Hebrews here, we covered that. it was fitting for him to be the sacrifice. Because it said this, by whom and why all things exist, the reason that it was fitting for him to be the sacrifice is because he was the one in the beginning that created everything for the purpose of everything having existence when it come to mankind. Are you following what I'm saying? He was there when the angels were created. Amen? And so, when Adam committed high treason, mankind fell and lost a dominion that was given to mankind to partner with God in this earth. Now man, natural man, does not realize that the real person that he is more spirit than he realizes, because the real person that you are is spirit. You have a soul and you live in a physical body. When I got a revelation about that first world that was taken out, and I saw one of my little grandbabies laying on the ground dead from that flood, and God spoke to my spirit and said that was the greatest act of mercy he could give children back then, is because I knew that that child would be raised in a demonic system and he'd probably been taken out spiritually. But we don't think of the spiritual side of humanity. We only think of the physical side. So when we look at stories like The Passion or something like that, we see the physical side. And that touches our heart. But I'm sure glad that no one can really describe the spiritual side of what happened beyond the cross. It was probably more horrendous than what we could realize. Now, we always have the fight going on. Did Jesus die spiritually? Well, we are a three-part being. We are spirit, soul, and body. There's three parts to us. Of course, the physical part was created that we might, as a being, soul and spirit, live in this world to make contact with it. But as a spiritual being, that was really what gave us dominion over this world. It was out of our spirit. And so when mankind fell as a result of Adam's high treason, man then was left to the consequences of that fall. And Satan became the god of this world. In Luke chapter 4, if you want to read about it, it's very clear. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus was taken up on a pinnacle with Satan. And he looked at Jesus and said, if thou be the Son of God, in that era, if thou be the Son of God. He says, take a look at the kingdoms of this world that's been given unto me. Jesus didn't turn to him and say, you're a liar. God is the God of this world. He's in control of everything. No, Jesus didn't say that. Because Satan asked him to fall down and worship him. He wanted Jesus to do something that would cause him to die spiritually. And that is to worship him. And that is a spiritual thing. So, the spirit of man does not cease to exist, because this is a part of us that has no ending to it. Our physical body will cease to exist, but our spirit and soul won't. It's made out of what? Non-substance material. Why? Because the body God fashioned out of the dust of the ground. That's what the body was made out of. But God took within him, a part of him, out of him and put it into Adam's dust. And caused him to become a living soul. And that part that God took out of himself has no end to it. God is spirit and we are spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. But our soul and spirit is the real us. If we were to step out of our body would just fall to the ground. It would not go on to exist. It would no longer go on to think. It would not go on to do anything, because the soul and spirit is eternally connected. And so consequently, when people die physically and they haven't received the Lord Jesus and they step out of their body, they go into shock because they're alive, they're still alive. And that was like that vision that Dave had when God approached Dave and told Dave to start interceding for one of his boys that was involved in drugs. And so Dave started interceding for him. And all of a sudden, Dave told the story here one time. He saw a big angel with his arms crossed standing behind his son and telling an angel of death he couldn't touch his boy. And his boy is in this party, in this drug party. Well, after the party was over, his buddy and Dave's son went into this room and fell asleep from the drugs. And the angel turned Stevie over on the bed, and he threw up. And his friend, who also was passed out, died. And Dave saw his friend step out of his body and saw the kid going and looking at himself and looking at his body on the bed. And the kid started crying out for his mother. For his mother. Because he was still alive, but he couldn't make no contact with this earth. And then he was taken. Probably by the angel of death. Because when you're not saved, the angel of death will visit you. The angel of death does not visit a dying saint. But anyway, we don't think spirit. We don't think how when God gave dominion to man, he gave man dominion over his creation, gave it a body from the earth, but within himself he gave the real man. And the world was created for that body, and that spirit was created to dominate this world. Amen. So what had happened at the fall? Man lost spiritual contact with God. Because that is what spiritual death is. It's the spirit being separated from the kingdom of God. And so over the process of time, man died spiritually. All were affected by Adam's fall. All turned to their own way. None knew the way of righteousness. Their mouth was an open sepulcher. And all they could do is speak words like a poisonous asp. They didn't know how to serve God. They didn't know how to have a fear for God. And so mankind was left in a predicament because no one could qualify to redeem man, but his name was Jesus. Amen. Amen. And he was born into this world, spirit, soul, and body. And oh, I tell you what, I love my Father. He said, if the principalities of the world had known the plan of redemption, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory because that's what hung them. I'll tell you, you can't outdo God. I mean, you got to be whacked to begin with. When you're dealing with God, come on, you can't get no higher. But boy, I'll tell you what, if somebody said, what made Satan think that way? He's nuts. He perverted his wisdom. Matter of fact, God said he so perverted his wisdom, a fire built within him, and it's going to consume him. His own wisdom is going to kill him, consume him. And yet people are going right and left following him. But the thing is, the mercy of God. When God entered into this world to be the ultimate sacrifice, and when he walked this physical planet, now I'm going to paraphrase this and sum it up, because we don't have no service tonight. You got family, you can go home and lead them to the Lord if they're not saved. Amen. But anyway, when Jesus walked this planet, Satan had an inkling he was around somewhere. He went after the kids, 2 years of age and younger. And he knew he was somewhere, but he could not figure out where he was. And God kept him covered. That's why you don't find out too much about where Jesus was as a little kid. Now, we've got some weird books out that say he built little wooden birds and they turned into real ones and flew and all that. But, gee, come on, give me a break. Anyway, make a long story short, we're covering from Genesis to Revelation, by the way. To make a long story short, God had given his word to man that he was given dominion as a part of the dominating authority in this planet. Now, most of us today wouldn't think the way God thinks because we think God can do what we do, give his word and go back on it. Well, I'll tell you what, Satan knew that first world he took out. No one was saved. There wasn't even a plan of redemption for him. thank God Jesus is going to show us what that was all about, but I'm not really interested right now. I'm just interested from Adam on. But I do know one thing. That when we look at His judgment in the end, we're going to be shocked. The Bible says we're going to look upon Him narrowly and say, is this the Him? Because, you know, He only wants man to see Him in light. He doesn't want to see Him as He really is. I mean, come on, people. If He showed up in this sanctuary with a black robe and a forked tail and a pitchfork in His hand and horns on His head, and He was all red in the face, and put His pitchfork down and said, I'm an angel, you'd look at Him and say, no, you're not. You're the devil. And that's what Christians are looking for. But He appears as an angel of light. He appears as a minister of righteousness. He cloaks Himself in light. Why? So He can deceive you. Well, Jesus wasn't deceived because Satan was trying to figure out if He was really the one. And he didn't really know it until he got baptized in the Jordan. And when he came out, the heavens opened up and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye heal Him. And the deal was on. Yep. Satan then knew who he was. Satan knew from that point who he was. But the only thing is, he didn't know the plan of redemption that Jesus was going to pull on him. And you know what it was? All the time he walked planet Earth, you know what he did? He did one thing that you and I could have never done in a fallen state. He fulfilled the Mosaic Law. And number two, he was completing the Abrahamic Covenant. Now, what is there about the Abrahamic Covenant and the Mosaic Law that make them so different? Well, first of all, the Mosaic Covenant belonged to the nation of Israel. But the Abrahamic covenant belonged to the nations. So when God knew that Abraham wanted a family, and by the way, Abraham was a God maker. He made little gods for people to worship. Did you know that? And then the God approached him and said, why don't you follow me? And you know what? Said Abraham bought it. Yeah, might as well. What kind of God are you? I'm the God. Hey, I like that one. I am paraphrasing this. And so, he knew the heart of Abraham. He wanted seed. He wanted a family. Well, you know what God wanted? He wanted a family. God did not want churches. He did not want religious nuts.
That's right.
Are you following me?
Amen.
God wanted family. You and I are family.
Amen.
Now, we might not belong to the same church, but we're still of the same family.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's what God was after. And he said, okay, Abraham, I'm going to cut you a deal. You know, I created this planet for men to have dominion on, but Satan went Adam went and gave that dominion over to Satan to be the ruling god of this world, the system of this world. He says, well, I can do one thing, Abraham. I can get the planet back, but I need man's authority in this earth to work with me. And we'll do it together.
Right.
Now, to some religious people, that's just, oh, I would never lower God like that. Well, it's because you don't think like God thinks. When God gives His word to man, it's a done deal. If God gives you something, it's yours.
Right.
You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. If He paid for it, it's yours.
Right.
Amen? It's yours. God didn't say, oh, you did something wrong. That mocks Nicks. I didn't mean it then. No, it's a done deal with God. He keeps His word, and that's what Satan wanted. He wanted God to violate His word with Adam. And he knew he wouldn't. And he didn't. And so Abraham and God hook it up, and they carry this plan of redemption on down the line through the fathers and the prophets and everything. And comes up to the birth of Jesus, which the angels were excited about happening. Somebody said, well, the angels come to know salvation. Come on, people. Angels was there with Jesus to begin with, pre-incarnate Christ. But you know what walked on the inside of the person of Jesus? Christ. That's why Jesus is a name for His humanity and Christ is a name for His deity. So he's called the God-man. He's not 50% man and 50% God. He's 100% God and 100% man.
Amen.
So you've got deity dwelling in his humanity. And only God could give him his humanity, conceived in him. What? What did God conceive in the womb of Mary? A man. All right, tell me what the man is made up of.
Spirit,
soul, body. He's called the incarnation. He's called God with us. Somebody said, well, you just created another God. No, I didn't. God united himself with mankind and became one with flesh, called the incarnation. 100% man, 100% God. How many got this? And so then as a result of this fall, man's left up on the hook. So Jesus comes into the earth and he walks. And number one, he fulfills the law that he said man couldn't do. Because their faith was in a hope that was to come. Our faith is in a hope placed in that which has taken place. Our hope is on a solid foundation. Their hope was future. Our hope is past tense. Past tense meaning what? Past tense meaning a completed redemption for us in a fallen world. Glory to God. That's why I could not believe when I got that revelation, Isaiah 53. But I was hit physically in my body. You wouldn't believe after that revelation. You're going to get challenged by the Word of God. Every time you take a step in the Word of God, you're going to get challenged. Well, anyway, what had happened was Satan was on Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the Mosaic covenant. He fulfilled every jot and tittle. So they took him. They nailed him to the cross, and there he died. And on the way there, one of the men that was nailed to the cross, he said, Jesus, I want to go where you're going, and take me there. And Jesus said, well, in the Greek it says, Jesus said to him, you will be with mine in paradise. Well, paradise he was speaking of was in the center of the earth at that time, called Abraham's bosom. Now, if it had been a man that could redeem mankind, Abel would have been qualified because he was the first one that stuck with the Word of God, with God. But that's not true because many died that followed God out of the Old Testament. But the death that I'm referring to is spiritual death that had to take place. Separation from God. But here's the problem. If God is deity and he is eternal life, then how in the world can God die? Because you can't touch eternal life with death. It's impossible. But there's one thing that you have. You have the Spirit of Christ, the nature of God, but you don't have the deity of God. You're not all-powerful. You're not all-knowing. Are you following? You don't have the deified attributes of God. That belongs to God. What you and I have is the nature of God impregnated into our spirit. And so we're called sons and daughters of God. Are you following me? We're going into more detail on this in our teachings in Hebrews. But you got to realize that when Jesus was on that cross, he stood there totally in perfect fellowship with the Father, fulfilled the law. But he also knew he had to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. And so when he said on the cross, it was finished. He wasn't referring just to the Mosaic covenant. He fulfilled that by his earth walk. Him who knew no sin became sin for us. So when he was judged for the sin, guess what? It wasn't for any he had. It was for our sin. And so he stood on that cross and said, it is finished, and died. And some people have a hard time with this, but if you will, turn over to Acts chapter 2. Do you want me to stop here or do you want me to keep going? I won't keep you too much longer. I know you're all probably frustrated, and I don't want no hams or turkeys to burn up. But in Acts chapter 2, let's go to verse 24. This is a message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And he jumped up. Verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, loosing, having loose the pains of death. This is not referring to type of pains of death physically. Physically. I mean, he was loose from the pains of death physically when he died on the cross. But what he was talking about here is having loosed from the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So this is referring to a death that went beyond that which was physical. Goes on to say, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Why? It will have a resurrection. Yes. Glory to God. Why? He says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when he went down, he went in and suffered the pains of death. And then when he came out of the pains of death, it said that he went on over and made a proclamation to the spirits that had been put into what we call Abraham's bosom. You'll find that over in 1 Peter when he talked about the spirit that were sometimes disobedient while the ark was being prepared. Well, those spirits, I got to saying to the Lord, where did those spirits come from? Where did they come from, God? And God said, those are the spirits of that first judgment, of the time that Noah was preaching righteousness on the earth and saying, see this boat I'm building? See it, you guys? And they're laughing. See this big boat I'm building? Man, that's a big one. And guess what? That boat was not designed for myriads of people. He says, me and all these animals, we're going to get on that thing. The heaven's going to open up and we're going to float away. You know, my great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, he died the year that Methuselah, you know what Methuselah means? When he dies, the deluge shall come. So Methuselah walked with Noah, said, yep, son, listen, you guys, when I die, flood's going to come. One day they found a stone called Rip. And Noah said, Methuselah died. This is the year the water's going to come. The boat's done. You guys going to get on board here or what? Well, said all the animals entered into the ark. And God closed the ark. Yep. And then God opened the heavens. And where I couldn't figure out where these spirits that were placed in Abraham's bosom. In Sheol, there's three compartments. There's a compartment of the damned. There's the compartment called Abraham's bosom, which was consummated. That's the place where Abel went, where he said his blood speaketh. It wasn't referring to his physical blood crying out. It was referring to the sacrifice that he had given. So when Cain took his life, that the blood of that sacrifice, according to God, put him in that place. But it had no name until Abraham cut that covenant with God. Abraham bought the deal. He said, yeah, I'll cut a covenant with you. It gave God authority to work in the earth through mankind on his part. So all of a sudden, God comes up out of Sheol, hell, having been loose from the pains of death, goes over, and he proclaims. This is what he does, like he does when he gets on back on earth. He says, all hell, you guys are here. What guys? These people that when the ark was shut, listen to me. The waters came, started filling up, and all of a sudden, they're hearing Noah preach. This whole world is going to be encased with water. I imagine some of them were banging on the door. Let me in. Let me in. Noah said, I can't. I didn't shut the door. If I tried to open this door, boat would sink. And so the boat lifts up, starts floating. And all these families and people, you know, these men almost lived 1,000 years. Can you imagine how many kids? If I lived almost 1,000 years and only had 2 kids, I got a problem. Come on, I'm more alive than that. So we don't know how big some of these families were, but we do know that the world was covered with people It was just, they're finding cities now that the Bible don't mention. Where'd that come from? Probably from that first world. They're using that to discredit the Bible. Well, if these cities aren't mentioned in the Bible, then the Bible must not be true. That's a bunch of junk. We don't know how old this planet is. We don't know what that first world was. But we know that the second one, where Noah was preaching righteousness, and Noah's floating off, and here you got a man with kids in his arms and stuff, and he says, well, let's keep going up on the mountain here. And probably when he got up to as far as he could go to try to think, well, this water will stop. Maybe Noah isn't telling the truth or something. I don't know how many families did that. But would you guys go for the highest place you could go when water starts coming in? Of course you would. And I know where these spirits came from. When they saw that they were going to die, the father of that family, probably the mother, the children, the parents probably said, let's repent in our death. Let's repent in our death. And so we know, I don't know if all the families did that, but there was families there in Abraham's bosom that were sometime disobedient while the ark was prepared. How'd they get there? How did they get preserved? Because in their death, they repented and said, I do believe what Noah was preaching. And they did that to preserve them and their family. But we don't see it that from that point of view, because all as we think of is our flesh. The church is in spiritual idolatry now because it has a love for this world. And churches are starting to turn from the love of the return of the Lord for the kingdoms of the world. And that's satanic. Right. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody ever gave me a dollar. And I drove a beat up Chevy truck. You all ought to repent for treating me that way. But I would be happy as long as I could preach you the gospel. Because this world is not of my world. This world is a devil, and it's going to end. And you know when it's going to end? At the end of millennium. Right. We're always so concerned. Well, Jesus can't really return. He can't really return until the last person is reached by the gospel. Listen, every generation was reached by the fullness of the gospel. Right. That is not what's holding him back. Jesus is waiting for an imbalance. He's waiting for... Right now, the scales are tipped, I think, in favor of God. I think there's more coming in than going out. But I think those scales are going to start tilting the other way. And when they start tilting the other way, God's going to make a short work of it. He's going to bring in judgment on this world and take the church out. Why? Because man will destroy himself. Then we're going to enter into a 1,000-year millennium. Somebody said, why are we going to do that? I got news for you. God is not going to bring judgment until we go through millennium. And in millennium, it's going to be the new Jerusalem. You and I are going to live in it. We're not going to live out in the suburbia with the unbelievers and these heathen nations. Where did they come from? From the nations that enter on in from tribulation. The ones that had not yet died. And they're going to have kids. We're going to run and rule with Jesus for 1,000 years. And it's called the time period where Jesus and David are going to rule with a rod of iron. Why do you think God gave 1,000 years? First of all, man was promised to live a full day. And he came close. Methuselah was probably the closest. But man's going to get his full day. Which is thought, 1 year. Or 1 day is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is 1 day. I like those kind of eternity numbers. When we've been there 10,000 years, we have no less days to sing God's praise than the day we first began. Whew. Wow. 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 So at the end of millennium, it says, then the great white throne will be established. You know why? God wants to show the gospel in a perfect, controlled environment with no hindrance for 1,000 years to prove to this world his love and his goodness and his grace, so that when he brings judgment on everybody, including the devil, it's a done deal. We enter into a new heaven. And a new earth, and not one of them will ever stand before that great white throne and say they hadn't been given an offer. How would you like to stand there and going to come into judgment because you were the one of the nuts that refused 1,000 years what Jesus refused to accept him. And Satan comes out and gets you to join him to attack us at the New Jerusalem. That shows you that the outer darkness that is mentioned many times in the Gospels, the outer darkness is where hell has enlarged itself. That outer darkness is a man's soul that has no illumination. That is that outer darkness. That is not hell, that's a man's soul that has no illumination. That is where a man makes a decision to go to hell, where his soul is not illuminated. I'll tell you how much fear I had of God. One time a guy came up to me in California and he said, "You want to get saved?" I looked at him. "Get saved? From what?" And he said, "Hell." "From hell?" You know what that sounded like to me? You know what? You can't get somebody saved with a tract that has the 4 gospel laws on it of witnessing. They got to get a revelation. And I looked at him and just said, "Hey, buddy, why do I want to get saved from hell? I'm already living in it." I didn't have an idea what he was talking about. And he sat there and he didn't know how to deal with me. Never ran across anybody like me. You know, probably ran across somebody saying, "Oh, yeah, I want to get saved from hell." I said, "Hey, I'm living in hell. I like it. I don't want to get saved from it." No fear of God. Thank God I received Jesus. But when Jesus came out of that grave, he went to his disciples in Matthew 28 and he said, "All hail." Jesus was excited. Why? The covenant he cut with Abraham and the house of Moses being completed by the works of Christ, all put on Jesus. He passed the test and he says, "Is there any daysman?" Job said, "Is there any daysman that will put one hand on man and one hand on God? Bring the two impossibilities together?" Jesus came and he died for you so that there ain't nothing that can separate you from the love of God. If he gave his son, what more good thing would he withhold from you? "No, I don't want to go through this world no more. Not without my Lord," because we're living in a fallen world. Satan is the god of this system. He's not the god of this world when it comes to a believer and his redemptive rights, because you and I can go through this fallen world and we can exercise our authority as believers to not be subject to the same sentencing this world has, because we have redemptive rights. I'm a son of God. So when he came out of that grave, can you imagine how Satan and all his kingdom felt? You know, I love that song, about 3 days in hell, and you got the guy on ice still, and Sunday's coming. Boy, that's a powerful. Remember us driving down the mountain, we had that song going, but, whoo, man, can you imagine what it was like in hell? Satan probably thought, "Man, I got this guy now." Problem is, now, somebody told me that Satan was taken illegally to hell. No, Jesus was taken, not Satan. Jesus was taken illegally to hell. He was not. Jesus was taken legally to hell because of you and me. He chose to go there for you. That's why he says, until you crawl up on that cross, you'll never know your redemptive rights. Why? Because that cross is a symbol of the completeness of the Mosaic Law and the Abrahamic Covenant. Birthrights. No man can see heaven except he be born from above. Shall I enter into my mother's womb again, a second time? Boy, how we think. No. And so when Jesus came up out of that grave, said he led the train of triumph. Can you imagine how the angels felt when they had to deal with Satan and his angels over the Old Testament prayers, and how they had to, in order to get them prayers answered, how they had to do battle and conflict was Satan and his bunch just to get an answer back to the to a saint like Daniel? Daniel was 21 days. God didn't want him. From the first day, I heard your prayers. And God had to do a warfare to get down to him. Why? The God of this world put opposition on him. And what God gave right to come down in here and even reach Daniel is because of Daniel's covenant rights. 21 days. He says, Daniel, the Lord heard you from the first day. But you know what the bad thing about that was? Satan withstood him. Withstood him for 21 days. And it said that the king of Persia was overthrown. Well, at that time, the king of Persia was ruling. It's quite possible. I guess they got a movie out called 300. And it's about those 300 Spartans that was in the valley of Thermopylae. That's when the Persians were ruling. They were destroying the world. They were heathenistic. And just think, an angelic conflict in the third heaven might have been that overthrow. The Persian, we don't know, but it happened out there in the spiritual realm first. So everybody stand up. We got to quit. Did you guys get something here this morning?
Amen.
Very good. The dominion is back in the hands of the saints through redemptive rights. Glory to God. We don't have to put up with a whole lot of junk if we don't want to. I'll tell you, every time you get a revelation of your rights, you're going to be challenged in it physically. It's like Satan just trying to shove that down your throat. Oh, you believe in that right, huh? Well, take this, you. But you got to stand fast. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Easter. And I thank you so much for Jesus dying on the cross. But Father, today I hope that your people understand that there was something beyond the cross. Those spirits of that world that was taken out by the flood, you preserved them because they died. But in their death, they repented. Father, I pray this whole world, before they meet death, they repent and let Jesus bring them on home. Hallelujah. Father, we want heaven filled. We want it filled with the righteous. I'm going to tell you, Jesus loves you so much. If you're here this morning, please, whatever you do, give your heart and life to Jesus. I feel led to say this in my spirit. Just stand steady with me for a minute. Might be a man's soul or a woman's imbalance here. But when I first got saved, I was on the seashore with my oldest son, Mikey, and Sue, and Timmy. And Timmy was real little. He had a little bucket there. Rebecca wasn't born yet. And this military soldier appeared to me and said that you're called into God's army. And I freaked out because I had to report in 5 days. Five is the number for army. And I grabbed Mikey and I started out to fish off this rock. And I was carrying little Mark. And I put Mikey on this rock because the waters got so bad I couldn't hold him. And I jumped upon the rock and the water stilled. And little Mikey had his fishing pole and he was fishing off of one side of the rock and I was fishing off the other. And I heard little Mikey get excited and I turned and he had a little minnow on his line. And I says, Mikey, you can't keep that. That's illegal. You got to throw him back in. No, that's mine. I'm going to keep it. And I says, well, Mikey, you can't keep that little minnow. It's too little. You can't eat that. I want it. It's mine. I said, okay, you can keep it. But I noticed there was a big, huge fish about ready to catch my line. I don't know whether I ever got it or not because that was the end of the dream. Well, when I got saved in that Baptist church downtown, little Mikey ran with me. Ran down the aisles. Gave his heart to the Lord. Mikey never lived for the Lord. But he loved the Lord and had respect to him. He gave his heart and life to him several times. And in the event of how he died, I found out later he was murdered. because of what he'd seen in prison. And we went to Branson, Missouri, Sue and I. We were there for 3 days at regional retreat. We're headed there tomorrow. And with Ken and Lynette. And Sue, hope she don't mind me sharing it. She went to heaven. God took her to heaven. And took her right to her son, Mikey. She held Mikey in her arms and rubbed her fingers through his hair. He had long, curly hair. She was holding him, and she said she could smell his hair. And he was all robed in white, and he just looked beautiful. And then she came back, and oh, it was quite a few days. She still had the aroma of his hair and everything. And I thought that was such a great act of God to really give confirmation that our boy is there because of the way he died. Isn't that tremendous? But if you're here today and you've even been in rebellion with God as a parent, your children are very important. And even though they're not walking right with the Lord this morning, I want you to know on Easter Sunday, if you're a parent and you're believing for your children, I want to pray with you this morning. I feel led to just cut that thing out just for this Easter. And pray with those parents who are concerned about their children. Because I'll tell you one thing, you've got to realize that if your children are out in this fallen world and they're not living for Jesus, the only hope and the only connection they've got is you. And you can't lose your courage. You can't lose your faith. And you can't lose your strength over your children. You have to believe and trust for them. I just thought that was so great for what the Lord did for my wife. But it sure proved that dream I had, didn't it? That little minnow was his life. So if you're here today and you want to rededicate your commitment as a parent to your children that are not living right, I want to pray and agree with you. Also, if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, don't walk around in this fallen world that way. Life is too unpredictable in this system. Isn't that right, Harold? Life is too unpredictable in that system. Harold knows what I'm talking about. Your baby's there. Hallelujah. He lost one of his boys, but he's there. Hallelujah. Thank God. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would like to come forward for prayer, you can step out right now. We have altar workers here to minister to you and come forward. Anybody, feel free to do it. Don't be ashamed. Let us have the opportunity to pray with you. Hallelujah. Anybody? Anybody? Hallelujah. 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 Of course, this is for loved ones, right? Hallelujah. 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 Anybody else? Hallelujah. 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 Well, I kind of know everybody that's here. It's got to be loved ones. Amen. Hallelujah. Got to get some water here. You know, it's not by your works that they come in, but it's by your faith in His works. We'll never match up to God's standard in our own thinking. If you think that you can do that, you got problems. But He'll do it simply because of His love for us. Anyone else?